This is the SML Podcast.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Benjamin.
How's it going?
It's fucking hot.
Really? It's not bad where I am. Although I'm in the middle of the woods, so it's kind of cool here.
We're in a third floor apartment with no air conditioning, with windows that face the sun.
There's probably no trees for shade either, right?
Nope. Sun is beating right down to the side of the house.
Yeah,
the windows are the shade.
Yeah, basically.
So what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm sweaty.
And I'm sweaty. And this is the sweaty man listen cat thing.
Can I have another popsicle?
Live episode from Mercury. The surface of Mercury, that really hot planet.
Could you hand me another popsicle?
Oh my god, I have to move.
The freezer is literally an arm's length. They're all on the bottom there.
Man, I haven't had popsicle in a long time, actually.
You're all attached.
So just tear one off.
Your thing is falling. There.
Thank you.
You get that one.
That's fine. Flavors. All of the flavors are good.
This is episode 66.
It is 66. That's hot as hell. Episode 66, hot as hell.
66.6. Recording from hell.
Uh-huh.
From Satan's asshole directly.
It's like it was meant to happen.
Oh, my God. So, aside from the weather being shitty and hot and shitty, some other unfortunate shitty news happened. The bad news, of course, Len, we are sorry to see that your Kickstarter did not happen. Do you have any comments on that?
I kind of really don't think of it as a total loss. I really kind of think of it as a learning experience. I mean, you know, who's to say that we won't, you know, get our marketing more together next time and then, you know, relaunch it again and be stronger, you know? I mean, there's a lot of shit that we learned, you know, through PAX, and as soon as, like, we hit the button, it was like, you know, we had all this knowledge then all of a sudden, and so there was a lot of different things that we would do next time around and would get us more money. And not only that, but there's also ways that we can actually cut down on the 97,000, because that kind of seemed to be a stark reaction from almost everybody. Like, holy shit, 97,000, you know, like, and you're just making this RPG and it looks like 16-bit. What do you need all that money for? You know, that came up a lot. But I think, you know, through failing the first time, I think it was okay for us, really. We also got a bunch of industry contacts, too, which was really cool through this process.
Not only that, but you also have the knowledge that 1,200 people are behind you for when it starts up again.
That's right. And not only that, but we actually started a community. So we can actually, you know, get people to come over there and we can tell them things about Pixel Noir that we're working on, or, you know, the new things in it, and get people's thoughts on different things. That's kind of part of this as well, really trying to build a community, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely one of those kind of things where it's, you know, anything related to Kickstarter, you know, it's a very grassroots effort. And this is really one of the first major productions that you guys are doing, right? So, I mean, it's not like you guys have any kind of prior experience. So it's the only way for you to kind of figure out how to do it is just to do it and see what happens.
Well, you know what it is too, is that we all have our good expertise in our own fields. Like, I do graphics, you know, I do graphics for web design, advertising, marketing things, logos for companies, whatever, photo retouching work. And so that's, you know, and I found like pixel art to come really natural to me, considering obviously just using Photoshop. So, and then like Kunal, he's already in the industry doing like, you know, albums and music and all that kind of good stuff. So he's already in it. You know, Luke, our programmer, Tim, you know, those guys, you're all in the music or you're all in the video game industry in some sort. And you all have like, you know, your own things to bring to the table to, you know, launch a game company. And that's kind of, it's a learning point for everybody because everybody has something to share. And now it's kind of different, you know, being able to work with one another's talents like that. So
what did Tim bring to the table?
That there was
come on, guys. Come on.
Yeah, come on. There's no need.
Of course there is.
There's no need.
He helped us really organize things. The thing is about me and Kunal is that we try to be organized, you know, but it just gets to be like way too much. And Tim kind of seemed to be a good fit for that organizational purpose. So there you go.
That's why he was the, what's his title again? I forget.
Project manager.
Project manager. That someone who manages something is to keep everything in order and on track. That's what a manager does. That's his job title.
Yep.
Joe.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing was is that. he's cool, man. I mean, like everybody has their own things that they do.
I eat food.
He helps us at least put this thing together in a game design document, you know, and that's really important because me and Kunal, you know, we only know like what we know. Like he knows the more the business side and I'm just an art guy, you know, and at least, you know, Tim can put together documents and things for me and Kunal to kind of go over and make sure that we're doing things correctly and in an organized fashion, you know.
Now, to be fair, you're not just an art guy. You are a ruggedly handsome art guy.
And that will get you much further than just being an art guy.
So I know you said that you think... go ahead.
I was going to say, I'll agree with the handsome part, but maybe not the ruggedly. I'm not too hairy or dark.
Grow a beard. But no, anyway, I know you were saying that you think the $97,000 goal was a bit high and that there's some ways you could cut that down. What kind of things did you have in mind?
Well, the thing was is that I was saying that a lot of people had concerns about it being that high. The only reason we went that high is because it was what we thought we needed to pay each arm of our department to do things. There was a lot of, you know, there was, for example, there was $10,000 put aside for just testing. While I kind of thought that was a little high, I kind of thought it was like necessary. You know, you're going to need to at least, you know, kind of shoot for the moon, especially since it's your first game that you're putting out. So then there was more money that was actually, you know, put towards marketing and things like that to really make sure we, you know, had a killer marketing strategy with money that to back it up. And we had to pay like programmers, you know, and everything else, writers, you know, and trying to get like maybe, you know, another artist to help me out and Shane, and then maybe another programmer to help Steven and Luke, you know, that would be kind of what we would use some of that money for. But now that like we kind of were thinking of like reducing scope, we're really just kind of concentrating on game features now. Kunal is like, you know what? We just threw too much shit at the wall. We got to really think about like, you know, making this just about the game features first and foremost. After that, then we can blow smoke wherever we want, you know. But for right now, we really need to just, you know, hammer those home to people and see what people like more, you know, if they like a cross save functionality or if they like an auto save versus a, you know, a manual save functionality in their RPGs, things like that. Make it more of a community thing than just, you know, just saying like, you know, putting our hands in our pockets and say, yeah, it's going to be our way because, you know, we want to make people happy with games. You know, we want to be happy ourselves with games. So we'd like the input from everybody, you know, So the 97,000, I mean, that would just, you know, that would be used for a lot of different things too. But as a reduced scope goes, I think we can probably go with maybe half that if we go around next time. We're still kind of like figuring out what we're doing. We got stuff going on with Greenlight, a bunch of other things. And so we're kind of scrambling right now to kind of recover from the end of the Kickstarter. And then like next week or the week after, we'll probably start organizing different things, you know. All right.
Do you think that maybe some of the rewards you offered might have boosted that goal number a bit much? Because as much as I loved the idea of that 250 tier coming with like a special box, numbered box, and all these other, you know, art books and goodies and everything else, do you think maybe if you reduced the level of the rewards and, you know, offered more digital stuff as opposed to physical goods, or if they were easier to mass produce types of physical goods, would that help drive the goal down a bit?
I'm not sure if it would drive the goal up or down, but I do know that in our campaign that the rewards were, they were almost an afterthought to us, and therefore like it kind of wasn't as well executed as we thought. Like after the first few days it was up, we looked back and we were like, yeah, you know, like if we would have done this a little differently and maybe charged this much for this and that, you know, and it was already too late, we pulled the trigger, you know.
Yeah.
Again, it goes back to just like it's a learning experience. Like now that you've kind of done this once and have figured out like what works and what doesn't work, you know, if you go to reevaluate it and try and go back to it again, I'm sure it'll be a completely different outcome because of having to go through this the first time. You know?
Sure, absolutely. And not only that, but, you know, we Kickstarter doesn't cost any money to do it, you know, so it's not like, you know, we can, you know, that we're losing money on a failed Kickstarter if something fails. I think what happens is like in the failed Kickstarter that we just had, we get more of a fan base then at that point. It's like you're playing a live show, you know, and you're getting fans then, you know, whereas if you went and tried to do this exposure on your own and you went to go and pay for it, you know, you'd find yourself poor, you know, yeah. You don't have any money to, you know, work on your game or whatever afterwards. So.
No, I definitely agree that like it's essentially, especially for a gaming industry, like the only way to really find out like what people are really, really interested for is essentially give them an opportunity to, you know, say, yeah, I'm going to buy this or I'm going to purchase this. Like, that's why I like the idea of a Kickstarter. And that's why sometimes in the concept, I understand like pre-orders and stuff like that. Because they know, okay, you know, we need to supply like this much of this thing because that's what people want. And it gives you more of an idea of like, you know, how many people are actually interested in buying it, you know. But then you have like these AAA companies that are just like, well, we're going to mass produce a bunch of, you know, like a fucking shit ton of them anyway. So the pre-orders don't really matter until you're getting into the collector's editions, which it seems like collector's edition things for like AAA titles and stuff like that, like they don't even care how many they make because there's been plenty of games where they've had like pre-orders of certain amounts and they've never been able to fulfill them.
Yeah.
So, but I understand like in the realm of a Kickstarter, you know, having all those in place first and then going like, okay, you know, this gives us a tangible number in which, okay, now we know, you know, all right, like we have a tier that has a fucking art book. If there's, you know, 150 people that backed it for that tier, then you know, okay, we got to make 150 art books or whatever, at least, unless you want to do more. But you know, it's having that bit of thing, and that's why I kind of like it on the aspect of I'm thinking about approaching it for music, because then nowadays it's very difficult to tell. Like I can't just essentially record an album and then go, yeah, I think I need to make this many CDs. Like the Blade Mode CD that I ended up doing, like I made 200 of them. I have about 80 of them sitting in my closet right now. Like, and they'll probably sit there forever. Like nobody's going
to
buy those.
Well, if you take them to MagFest again with another one, people might see them both and be like, hey, might as well get them both.
Well, yeah, maybe. But but the thing is just like, you know, at first it was really just the thing where I was just going to, I'm doing those. And, you know, once they're gone, they're gone. Essentially, I wanted it just to be for that MagFest. And I way overestimated how many I needed. Which ultimately like changed the amount of money that I had to spend on the project. So doing things like Kickstarters and stuff like that, essentially, like I said, it tells you, it's a tangible number. It just goes, yeah, this many people want this product.
Yeah.
So I like the idea, and like you said, even a failed Kickstarter still gives you an idea of how many people are genuinely interested in it. So I don't really see it as a complete failure. You know?
No, right. It's not. And not only that, but, you know, have you ever checked out like CD Baby by any chance?
I have,
like,
yeah.
To put up like your game mode stuff on iTunes, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is essentially like the amount of revenue that you generate off of it in comparison to other means are very meh. Right now, as far as music is concerned, like physical copies of things are pretty much going away. The only thing that I see possibly making more of an insurgence is vinyl.
Yeah.
Because vinyl is more of like a collector's kind of thing. You know, it's an analog format. It's going to give you like the best sound quality without having like an ADAT tape. Like, and you know, or something of the like, and having like your own recording studio that you can get all of the stems from and all that kind of shit. But yeah, I mean, like, it, you know, music's a completely different monster, but in the same aspect, like I said, like certain things can lend themselves to the same type of idea in the game industry as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, man, I think overall what you guys did was, you know, I think it was definitely going in the right direction. You guys learn more and you know, I hope that you guys come back and attempt to try and slug it out and do it again.
Yeah, we'll be there for round two, and it looks like at least 1,200 other people might be, and you never know how many people were on the fence with wanting to back it but wanted to wait until it was closer to the goal. I know a lot of people, they'll be like, yeah, I want to get in on this, but let me wait and see how it's going first. There's a lot of people who won't back it until it's already funded.
Or there's a lot of people that won't back it until it's starting to get close, and they're like, it's on the cusp of like, are they going to make it? Are they not going to make it? Like, there was a decent amount of margin that you guys were going to have to try and make up for towards the end of it. So that might have like,
deterred some people from wanting a decent amount of people.
So it is a skewed perception of how many people might be genuinely interested, but at the same time, like you said, it's a good baseline.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's an absolutely good baseline. And not only that, but I just think we have to really kind of promote ourselves a little better next time. But the thing is that, I mean, you know, until you actually have a Kickstarter live, you know, no one wants to really talk to you about your upcoming Kickstarter.
Yeah.
They want to know that you've already had something. And now that we've already had something, hopefully we can get like more media contacts like we have been through this process. So it'll be good.
Well, is SwordTech going to be making the trip to E3?
No, we will not. We are looking to do PAX Prime. So, I was going to say PAX East, and we just did PAX East.
Or PAX South.
I kind of figured that going to E3 might help you get some more contacts, but...
Well, comparatively, I mean, E3 is, like, way huge.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, I don't know how they kind of contribute towards the indie kind of guys.
I thought PAX was at the point where PAX is bigger than E3.
No, God, no. It really depends on it. I would say PAX is more of a thing for like a generalized, like, you know, you get a lot of indie developers, You get some AAA games and stuff like that, but like the way that I see E3 is like just AAA shit. Like that's where like, you know, your heavy hitters are coming to like make announcements and stuff like that. Where PAX East is just like this big kind of like, you know, it's more of a convention as a like a literal convention as opposed to E3 is just this grandiose media event for all.
I'd rather go to MAGFest. So.
Well, yeah, me too. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, MAGFest was like the best, actually. I really want to do that next year, and I want to have a booth there to sell some of my pixel art. So
do it up.
I want to see how that goes.
Maybe maybe you guys could team up with Randall. Randall Drew, he was on talking about his Beyond Mode 7 Kickstarter.
Which I think they actually did. They
got funded.
Yeah, they got funded.
We've been on a Kickstarter kick on our show recently.
We should do a Kickstarter of Kickstarters.
But I know you mentioned that you're looking into Steam. What'd you say?
I said, dude, you guys should talk to the Hyper Light Drifter guys.
No clue what that is.
I have no clue.
No. They're like really popular on they were really popular on their Kickstarter and everything. And they have a very, very cool looking game.
I'll have to look into it.
So, yeah. Anyway.
We will have to Google that.
We'll Googles it. We'll Bing it.
No, we won't Bing it.
So anyway, I know you mentioned looking into Steam Greenlight and getting the game on that way. With the lack of the Kickstarter happening, have you looked into readjusting what platforms you're going to go to? Are you still interested in hitting computers, mobile, and PlayStation? Or do you think you're just going to focus on computers for now? How are you going to handle it from there?
As far as I know, we're still shooting for what we were shooting for in the Kickstarter. Nothing's really going to change there. It's just that we kind of added Steam to that list just to see if Steam would go for us, you know? Yeah. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I need to start getting a lot more into Greenlight because, like, I've heard of Greenlight essentially launching a lot of really well-known indie games now, and I've had my Steam account for well over 7 or 8 years.
Strings Theory.
Yep. Yep. But like I've had my account for a long ass time and I've never once even clicked on the green light like menu.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah. I'm a bad person.
I know because it's fucking hot in here.
I'm sorry. I know. And I can already tell that like our enthusiasm is slightly diminished because of our will to live, you know, fucking pouring out of our porous.
I'm looking that we're over 20 minutes and I'm ready to just call it a show now. But no, we have shit to talk about.
We're melting.
Oh my God. You're so fucking coming down to our place. Because we have this magical thing called air conditioning.
I was supposed to have air conditioning. I was supposed to.
We don't have AC in the car. So we're boiling the entire fucking drive up. You don't have AC here, so we're going to boil the entire fucking time here. Then we got to go back home, so we'll be boiling that entire fucking time, too. You son of a bitch.
It's all my fault.
You son of a bitch.
Sorry.
You guys got to get, like, $80 together and buy an air conditioner.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, like, Jordan just started her new job yesterday. I put my 2 weeks in on Friday, so yeah, we have to wait until money is here
or fucking drive to our place
with a vehicle that's not in my possession right now,
and it will be later on. And we will give you gas money. This is win-win for you.
I understand.
Schedule's wide open. Come down when you want. Plus, you get free gas money.
I'm aware. I am aware.
And air conditioning.
And air conditioning. Now, the air conditioning is definitely like a selling point because I'm sweating testicle. Like it's,
and I'm fat, so I sweat more.
I'm not a small guy.
I'm fat. I am fat.
I
am legit fat. You're like, oh, I'm a guy. I'm the size of a guy.
Like, I'm guy size.
Like you could take your shirt off and not be mocked.
No. That's debatable. That is highly debatable. And I would lose that debate, probably.
No, I could take my shirt off and immediately guys start pinching my titties.
This Ashley's coming from behind me. That is true. That is very true.
Many times I don't need to remove the shirt before people start pinching my titties. I'm sure you saw a lot of that at MAGFest.
Oh, yeah, a couple times.
Yeah.
I did.
MAGFest, a.k.a. Violate Joe Cam Fest.
Violate Joe Fest. Joe's Rape Fest.
Oh, so.
Why don't we, Len, do you want to talk some news with us? There is some news that happened.
All right. What's the news?
So.
We're talking about the X-Bone?
Yeah, it's the first thing I was going to bring up.
Yep, the news came out today that on June 9th, there will be a new version of the Xbox One sold without the Kinect for $399.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I'm interested to see what Sony's going to end up doing considering, like, that $100 price point difference
was
essentially, like, their selling point. They're like, yeah, we're $100 cheaper. Go with us. And now Xbox is going to be like, we've got one the same price. Like, go fuck yourself. like, it really doesn't matter at this point. So, I mean, and I know that we've brought up the whole Kinect with the Xbox One and understanding, like, why they bundled it in at first. Like, it is definitely a awesome piece of hardware. It's very, very cool. However, in some instances, and I was telling you this before we started recording, in certain instances, I feel that for some people, it's not necessary. Like, for me, I can get away with... I feel like I would be able to get away with not having one for a while. Would I want one for my Xbox One now that I've actually used it? Shit, yeah, I would. Thing's awesome. However, would I need it right away to sell me on the system? No. So, I think that $100 price point difference without having the Kinect... to essentially be like, well, now I can get myself a new system. I can get my feet wet with the new games. I can get my feet wet with, like, you know, the new interface and controller and all that kind of stuff. But I don't have to have that Kinect experience right now. Like, and being able to do that for $100 cheaper, I think it's going to give people...
you bought it originally that you can use it or not?
What was that?
Did you have the option in first when you bought it to either use it or not use it?
Yeah,
or
you didn't
did you have
you,
to use
you
it.
Don't have
you didn't
to use
have
it.
To have it hooked up.
No.
I think you just needed to have it connected to run the initial setup. And then after that you could just
turn it off.
Throw it in the garbage if you wanted. Or if you actually, gotcha, you know, used it for more than a minute and a half, you would have realized how fucking awesome it is.
Yeah.
Like, when I bought the Xbox One, I had zero intention of giving a shit about the Kinect. Like, I didn't care about voice commands. I didn't care about gesture commands or anything like that. And now, I can't imagine not having the Kinect. Like, when I needed to use the PS4 to watch the WWE Network, every time I paused a video, I had to physically find my PS4 controller, turn it on, select my profile, because that's retarded, and then pause the video. Now, with the WWE Network on the Xbox One, and I need to go get a drink or something, Xbox, pause. Done. Done. Magic.
No, the voice recognition on the new Kinect is awesome. Not to mention the fact that, dude, the camera on that thing is good.
It's incredible.
Like, it's really good.
Like, compare that to the PSI for the PS4. Oh, the camera quality on that is dick and a half.
Dick and a half.
The camera on the Kinect is a 1080p high-def camera.
Don't forget that extra half a dick.
Yeah.
It's very crucial.
Just the tip.
Like, just explaining the Kinect, people might be listening to me and be like, oh, God, that sounds stupid. Why would you give a shit about that? It's because you haven't done it yourself, and you don't know how fucking awesome it is to get home, say, Xbox on, and then your cable box turns on, your surround system turns on, your TV turns on, the Xbox turns on, and then you say, Xbox, watch ESPN, and you're watching ESPN.
It's pretty incredible.
It's so convenient, and I feel bad for people who buy the cheaper version and don't have the Kinect.
Well, and like I said, it's not like I'm not going to buy the Kinect at all. I still want one, but yeah. I think initially for certain people, like having that like that extra $100 where they might be able to like use it to buy their first game or some extra, like, you know, whatever. That might give people that little push of being like, okay, yeah, I think I could justify like picking one up, because people are frugal, money is tight for most people, so I can understand that way of thinking, because that's how I would think about it. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm more interested in picking up a Wii U first, so and right now is going to be a pretty good time to pick one of those up with the. Yeah. The new bundles and stuff like that, but and the new games coming out. However, once I get a Wii U, the next thing that's on my wish list is an Xbox One. If I don't have the money for the Kinect, or if I don't feel that there's enough games where I'm going to utilize the Kinect, because realistically, for me, for a console, the only reason why I'm going to sit down, because I don't even have cable, so I'm not going to use a lot of the voice commands and stuff like that as yeah. per you would. The only thing I would use it for is like Netflix and stuff like that. But even then, I don't really do that.
Xbox, so, go to Netflix.
Yeah. So that's
fun.
Like, yeah. So, I mean, that paying an extra $100 to do that. Like
Xbox, go to Killer Instinct.
For me, isn't needed. Would I like it? Sure. But well, it's not needed.
Well, if you're going to wait on a Kinect, apparently the standalone Kinects won't be out until the fall. So... If you are dead set on not getting a Kinect, I hope you can wait it out as you get another friggin' Icy Pop.
That's because I'm really, really hot.
Yeah, no shit, it's fucking hot.
but that's the thing. Like I said, it's not like I don't want to get one at all. I just feel like I could probably get away with not having one right away. And oh, so saving an extra $100. That's all. Because that $100 would get me one or two games.
Yeah. More good news from the Microsoft camp is they are changing the way that the Xbox Live Gold service works in regards to entertainment apps.
Yeah, where thank fucking God.
Stuff like Netflix, Hulu, Machinima, Twitch, HBO Go, all that other kind of entertainment stuff will no longer require Xbox Live Gold.
Yeah, and that's the whole reason why I ended up getting rid of my Xbox, is because it was just a glorified Netflix machine, which we couldn't even use for goddamn Netflix because I didn't have gold. Stupid.
Fucking I'm of the opinion stupid. Where if you own an Xbox, I don't understand why you wouldn't have Xbox Gold.
Because literally the only reason why I had my Xbox was to play Skate, and I didn't play it online because they got rid of the online fucking...
Well, if you get one and want to play Grand Theft Auto online, guess what? You'll need gold. If you pick up Killer Instinct on the X-Bone and you want to play other people, guess what? You're going to need gold. If you get Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare, or Titanfall, you need Xbox Live Gold because there's no single player.
I'm aware.
It's like people who own a PlayStation and don't have PlayStation Plus.
That's kind of stupid because PlayStation Plus like gives you a lot of really good like deals and free games like all the time.
Yeah, and now if you own a PS4, you need to have it to play online.
When did that change?
With the PS4.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Holy fuck.
Yeah, people bitch yeah. about Xbox doing it. It's like, oh, Sony would never do anything like that. And then Sony did it, and they're like, it's just a part of the changing business. No, they did the same dick bullshit where you have to pay for online. You're just making excuses for it where I don't give a fuck and I'll do it anyway.
That's a big difference. That is a
huge
difference.
And now they also announced that Games for Gold is going to start releasing stuff on the Xbox One as well. Let me pull that up quick. In June, we'll hit Xbox One in June, starting with Max Curse of the Brotherhood and Halo Spartan Assault.
Oh, which, that really bad Spartan Assault.
It's not bad. It's a lot of fun.
I didn't like it.
Well, neither did Tim, and we know his opinion. So, and then they're also celebrating its 1 year anniversary on the 360 by offering three games: Street Fighter IV Arcade Edition, Charlie Murder,
what?
And Dark Souls.
What? Dude, oh, that's nuts! Jesus Christ!
Bless you, Ashley. I hope the mics picked that up.
I don't know if it did.
And then Deals with Gold, which offers discounts on games each month for Gold members, will also launch on the Xbox One in June, starting with sales on Rise, Forza Motorsports 5, and Microsoft says a few surprises. So I guess we'll see.
I want Forza really bad.
You should.
I want it really, really bad.
More broken PS4s.
More broken PS4. We don't want those. We don't want those at all. So on top of that, let's see, what else? What other news was there? I'm trying to remember. I know I had some other ones that I had thought of, and now I'm kind of lost. Joe, news me.
I am reading Harmonix's responses to the whole Kinectless Xbox. John Drake from last week said, "Oh, great. Super great." And Nick Chester said, "Oh, good." Because now developers will have no reason to actually make innovative games that utilize the Kinect because it's
not required,
not packed in anymore, which I don't like that they fucking did this. I mean, how many people are going to miss out on Fantasia because they buy a system without a Kinect?
Yeah, it's true.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it's kind of like the four player thing? You know, like if you buy a game that's four players and you only have two remotes, you have to go out and spend another $60 to, I guess $60. I think they're like $40 each now for like a Wii remote. But, you know, it's almost the same argument kind of, you know, you'd have to go out and spend that money to buy the extra remotes for that game.
Or you might have friends who already have them, have controllers of their own.
Or that.
Unless you have someone else. Yeah. Unless you have someone else that's like, oh, yeah, I have a Kinect for my Xbox One. I could bring it over when we play Fantasia. Like, it's.
But no one will do that.
No. Realistically, that won't happen.
No.
And I mean, with a four player game, chances are there's also a two player mode or a single player mode with. You know, Fantasia or other games like Kinect Sports, you can't play it without the Kinect.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that we're going to run into this issue that we had with the Xbox 360, where Kinect games came in ugly purple cases and they had these giant Kinect required logos on the front. And they're just going to be segregated because no one will want them.
Yeah, it's really shitty. I mean, like I said, I kind of, for me, it's a beneficial kind of thing because eventually I do want to pick up a Kinect regardless. So I can kind of pick up my system now, and then when I have a couple extra bucks, then pick up the Kinect. Like I said, it's not like I'm never going to pick one up if I get an Xbox One because I feel that the Xbox One is definitely, or I'm sorry, the Kinect is definitely a thing that... benefits the Xbox One, or the Xbox One benefits from the Kinect. I think it's something. I don't want to say that it's required. However, I do feel that it is strongly suggested. It's pretty much like that one person that ends up buying, like, you know, they buy their the one console for the first time, like, you know, when you were younger, and they're like, "Oh, I just got a Nintendo. Like, what do I need to get?" Like, well, you have to get Zelda, and you have to get this, and you have to get that. Like, when it comes to the Xbox One right now, I feel like if it's something, if they had an option to buy the Kinect or not to buy the Kinect, I would strongly urge to buy the Kinect because it really is that awesome. I don't know. We'll see how people react. We'll see how it ends up doing as far as market is concerned. I can understand from a business perspective as to why the Xbox, the Microsoft guys did it. It's because they're hurting on Xbox Ones right now. Like, they're not really selling as much as they anticipated that they would, or had hoped that they would. So essentially, they're trying to figure out a way that they can combat with the PlayStation 4 as far as like price points and what have you, because that's the main thing that they were fighting against.
Yeah.
So now they've eliminated that price point. And it's the same thing with the, if you really think about it, now they're really priced exactly the same.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the PlayStation camera or whatever for the PlayStation 4, like, you can still purchase that, and it's still a standalone thing that you can use to you know, play these other games. And the same will be for the Kinect when you think about it. But at least the Kinect is good, and the Microsoft one, or
yeah,
but Sony
now
one is
no
bad.
One will fucking give it a chance.
I don't think no one.
I think this is a sign of Microsoft conceding on the Kinect and giving up on it.
I don't want to say giving up on it. I think it's mainly like, all right, well, let me ask you this then. You take the Xbox One, all right, and you're trying to skim it down to make it a better price point so that you'd be able to combat with Sony. What would you do? Like, what would you get rid of? What would you offer?
I said this, we were writing up predictions for E3. And my prediction was that Microsoft was going to drop the console to $399 without losing the Kinect. They would take the loss on the systems, but it would be a better value than the PS4. It would still be the same price as the PS4, and they would get a lot of sales, and they wouldn't alienate any developers or games or any of the audience.
Yeah, but you can't. Why would you sell them at a loss, though?
How many electronics consumers and video game consoles sell at a loss? Pretty much all of them, except for what Nintendo puts out. And they do that to make the money back in you know, subscriptions and in accessories and games.
Yeah, but how much of a loss? Because are they selling at a loss with the Kinect at $5?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, that's,
I honestly would have just taken the loss to sell it at the same price as the PS4. I mean, it's been a year and things aren't moving the way you had hoped. If you dropped it to $400 and kept the Kinect in, you know, it's still a level playing field with all the players.
It's true.
And the developers, because look at Harmonix. They're putting all this money and all this tech into a game that requires the Kinect.
Yeah.
And now there's going to be a gigantic portion of the Xbox One audience who doesn't have a Kinect and won't even give a shit about their game. It's like, oh, well, I'd buy a $60.
As a developer myself, I'd be pissed.
Go ahead.
I said, as a developer, yeah, man, I can totally agree with you. I'd be a little pissed.
I mean, most people, they'll be like, oh, man, Fantasia, that looks really cool. It looks $60 cool, but it doesn't look $160 cool. How many people didn't want to get the Dance Central games because they didn't want to buy a Kinect?
Yeah,
I understand that. But at the same time, I mean, like I said, the first Kinect wasn't that good. This one's fucking awesome.
No, it was good. It wasn't what people wanted it to be or what they originally advertised it as, but it was still really good and pretty responsive, especially compared to the Move.
Well, yeah, the Move was fucking poop.
I mean, the Kinect had a lot of shitty games on it. Like, let's not even talk about Steel Battalion, but...
You're the one that brought it up.
You know,
you just said it.
The Kinect sports game, Kinect Adventures, the Dance Central titles. There were a decent amount of solid Kinect games. Were there any system sellers or anything that'll set the world on fire? Probably not. But if you had a Kinect and you saw these games come out, you'd be like, you know what? Yeah, I'll give it a shot. But now if you have an Xbox One that doesn't have a Kinect with it, and you see Kinect Sports Rivals on the shelf, are you really going to want to pick it up and have to buy a Kinect? Or you'll just, fuck it, I'll buy
something
else.
Right over it, yeah.
Disney Fantasia, oh man, that's made by the guys who did Dance Central and Rock Band. That looks really cool. Oh, I need a Kinect? Fuck it. But me, I have a Kinect because it came with my system.
Yeah.
And Harmonix developed that game under the assumption that everyone was going to have a Kinect. And now this fractures the audience. You know, that's the problem with the PS4 not coming with their camera.
Well,
how many people make shit for the PS4 camera?
Nobody.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, you make a point.
You know, it's going to fracture the audience. It looks like more backtracking on Microsoft's part. So, you know, from a group, you know, the whole gaming community, they're already calling it the Xbox 180. Oh, just one more turn in the Xbox 180. You know, why would they want to give anything else for Microsoft a chance? Because they're backpedaling on everything.
Everything, yeah.
You know, as an Xbox One fan and owner, this actually bugs me. You know, it pisses me off that, you know, it seemed like most of the stuff Xbox has been doing has been turning it around and making things more of a positive, and I think this is a bad step for Microsoft. Does it give a portion of the audience what they want? Yes. Are most of those people going to buy an Xbox One? No, because they'll just find something new to bitch about.
Yeah. Yeah, I see where you're going with it. I mean, I understand exactly where you're coming from with it. I'm just trying to think of, like, from a business perspective, like, I don't know if they'd really be able to take that fucking $100 loss and still put the Kinect in it. Like, I really don't think they would be able to.
And then just do a $50 price cut and keep the Kinect in there. There had to be a different way than alienating your consumers and the developers. I mean, just those two responses from John Drake and Nick Chester say it all. Great.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Like, how many sales are Harmonix going to lose because there's going to be how many new Xbox One owners without a Kinect? And they won't want to buy a Kinect for one game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, now that they've already started development and they've made it, like, and Xbox, like, Microsoft makes this announcement, it's not like you're going to have anybody, like, really going out of their way to try and make something now.
Yeah. No one's going to want to give a shit. You'll get stuff like on the 360 where Halo, you could say, grenade, and you throw a grenade, and that's it. That's going to be the extent of Kinect integration anymore. No one's going to give a fuck about it. Microsoft just pretty much killed the Xbox One's Kinect. Overall, aside from a handful of games, you'll see Disney Fantasia is going to come out and it's probably going to be fucking awesome and the sales are going to suck because no one will want to buy a Kinect for it. Aside from that, you probably won't see many more Kinect games. Maybe Rare will churn some other fucking Kinect game out. But, you know, I really don't understand why they would want to do this. I mean, the people who bitched at Microsoft when the Xbox One was announced still bitched at them when they removed the always on online. They still bitched at them when they dropped the use game requirements. They still bitched at them when the console came out and was good. They bitched at them, you know, when it was, there were actual games at their press conferences instead of TV, TV, TV. They bitched at them when they had more exclusives than the PS4 at launch, and they're still going to bitch now because those assholes bitch no matter what. I mean, that's just how so many gamers in the community are. They need to bitch about something. And
that's just how...
That, absolutely.
I think that's not... I don't think that's strictly just gaming.
No, but we're in the gaming community, so that's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, like, the thing that sucks is it doesn't just come down to gaming. It comes down to pretty much like everybody, like within like, and I hate to say it, but within like my generation.
Yeah.
My generation.
We're a generation of bitchers.
Yeah, it sucks.
And I'll include myself for the past month because I had problem after problem with Sony.
Well, see, now, hold on now.
Multiple PS4s breaking.
I see that as legitimate because they fucked up. Like they legitimately fucked up. Like, yeah. I hate to say this. I really fucking hate to say this. You got your PlayStation back, right?
Yeah, I have a new PS4 again, which the fan still sounds loud, but fuck it. When it melts down, I'll fucking care then. Yeah, when playing Final Fantasy 14, it would get loud. So
maybe
it's Final Fantasy 14. Maybe it's a lot more processor intensive than I realized. Some people said I might want to try standing the system up because the system still gets super hot. And maybe if more service area is open to air, it might cool it off better. I don't know. I don't think the PS4 is a well-made system because it's too fucking small.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, look how tiny it is compared to the Xbox One. You want to know why the Xbox One is so fucking big? Half of it is open air with a giant-ass grill on the top for all the heat to come out.
Why do you think computer towers are so big?
Yeah. The Xbox One runs nice and cool, and it's super quiet because there's no fan going apeshit trying to cool it down. The PS4 runs super hot, like to the point where sometimes, you know, when I touch it, it hurts. It's so warm. And the fan gets super loud because it's too small.
Yeah.
There's nowhere for the heat to go. But, you know, I have a PS4 again, so I can't really bitch about that.
Well,
I have
where
a
I was
working
going,
PS3 again.
Yeah, where I was going with it was... And I hate to say this, but I wonder if Sony essentially hits a certain point and they're just like, yeah, we'll say that we fixed the fucking console and then just fucking essentially just like do one small, really minute thing and then just fucking box it back up and send it back.
Well, all of mine have been gutted new ones or refurbished because they all have the box with it.
Okay.
I have a stack of 4 PS4 boxes in our closet.
That's ridiculous.
When people don't believe me that I'm on my 4th PS4, all I do is take a picture and show. I have 4 empty PS4 boxes here. 3 of them are from defects.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I think at a certain point, Sony needs to essentially just be like, okay, you know, they have to. There's got to be something along the lines of like a lemon law, essentially. Don't you think?
Yeah, you get past 5, they give you 1 for free.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like gaming companies should still feel the same way as like any other kind of industry. If you had that kind of fucking problem with like an iPhone, or if you had that kind of problem with a cell phone or a laptop or any of that kind of shit, like, you would justifiably be able to go back to them and be like, yo, your shit's fucked up. I want a refund.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, we understand because, yeah, you're pissed. But, like, companies like Sony and companies like Microsoft, I don't think Nintendo would ever do that. I really don't.
And my biggest problem with Sony isn't the fact that I keep getting shitty consoles. Like, they're breaking, whatever. If their customer service treated me fucking better, I wouldn't be this pissed.
Yeah.
Like, when I contact them, you know, they told me that, I'm sure I told this one last week, or the week before, whenever the fuck it was, they told me I needed to contact phone support since I just recently had another issue. So I called phone support, I talked to a guy who I couldn't understand because they allegedly exported all of their support tech overseas. And this comes from someone who worked in Sony customer service. He told me that they sent it all overseas and he lost his job. So, So I had a deal with someone I could barely understand, tell me that I needed to be escalated to someone else and that he would transfer me right away. And I was on hold for over an hour. And the only way I got it taken care of was that while I was still on hold, I got back onto chat support and said, I want someone to either fucking help me or take me off hold now. I've been on hold for an hour. I want to be taken care of. This is bullshit. And the guy on chat support help me. And my phone battery died before anyone on the phone ever picked up. That's bullshit. And then when I, you know, I never got any emails regarding that service. I never got an email.
Yeah, I remember you saying, and then the fucking box just showed up.
Yeah, the box just showed up. I never got an email saying, this is your service number. So I had to get back on support to find out what my fucking service number was. I had a never got an email that the service was created, that the box was on its way, that they received the box, that a package was being sent back to me. Nothing. I had to check the service request number online for any updates. I put the service number in and it says, there's no status on this. If it has been more than 4 hours, please contact support. So I would contact support every time and none of them would have any information for me. And they said, if you want information, you're going to have to call phone support. And then I explained why I do not want to contact phone support. And they said, well, we can't help you. That's not support. That is shit. When I got the system in on Saturday, what were you saying?
Well, they should kind of tell you who can help you then, rather than saying, oh, well, and throw up their hands and say nothing.
Yeah, they said phone support will help you. I was like, can you give me a direct number to someone who can help me? No. Can you transfer me to someone who can help me? No. Can I leave my number so someone will call me or email me? No. You need to call phone support. How fucking helpful is that support?
It's not very supportive.
That's bullshit.
Joe, I think it goes along with a lot of corporations now, man. You know, like it's all about bottom line. You know, you want to know why they took the Kinect out. It was obvious. Their sales were down. They needed to keep up with Sony. And they decided to pull the plug on all their developers, you know.
Well, having customer support like that.
To make the bottom line.
Having customer support as shitty as Sony's is how you lose customers, not how you gain customers.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, at least like what Microsoft is doing is they're trying to open up their audience a little bit more, which we can agree or disagree with how they're going about doing it. Yeah. However, they're at least trying to do something in what they feel is a positive sense of the word. Yeah. Sony's just kind of like not there. What was the last update that we've actually heard from Sony about what they're doing as far as the console and or like game, like first party games are concerned?
Drive Club.
Which saw how that happened.
I'll give them credit after all the backlash about the upgrade and if your PS Plus subscription lapses, you lose access to the game. They're changing that so that you will keep the game if your subscription lapses. I mean, it's still a load of shit compared to what they said at the beginning of Drive Club, where it would be the full game experience minus a handful of cars and tracks, and you could get the complete experience with a minimal upgrade to getting a fifth of everything and having to pay $50 to upgrade.
Unless they think that minimal upgrade means 50.
Yeah. But yeah, that's still a massive step backward from what they said. But at least you get to keep the game now, and they listened somewhere.
Sort of.
Yeah. By the way, the funniest part about that last PS4 thing, they had the console the Friday before. And then as of last Friday, I contacted again trying to get some kind of update because putting my service number in still said that there was no status information. They confirmed that it was there. I asked them, it's like, how long is it going to be? Because this has taken longer than any of my other services. And the guy said, don't worry, this won't be as long as your other services. I just said it's been longer. You fucking idiot. I got the system in on Saturday, so I guess that last pissed off email is like, just fucking send them something. It came in on a Saturday, so they probably dropped a couple extra bucks to FedEx it on Saturday. I checked my service number online, still no information. So from beginning to end, there was zero information on that entire status.
That's just unorganized and poopy.
Thankfully, I also exchanged my PS3 for a working one. And I am going through all my download history to re-download everything ever from PlayStation Network. And given that it combines your PS2 and Vita downloads on the PS3, I have nearly 1,900 things I got to go through. And your download queue can only hold 32 items at a time. Yeah. And then every now and then, the server will time out when you're on the list, and it'll boot you out, and you have to scroll all the way back down to where you were. Yeah.
First world problems, Joe.
I have 600 more things to go.
First world problems, Joe.
The unfortunate thing is in those 600 are like 3 years worth of PlayStation Plus stuff. So there's a lot of shit to go through.
Yeah, and you're on capped internet.
Yeah.
Which, that never helps at all.
Which means from 5 to 1, I can't do shit.
Which is, like, the best time to do that.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Hate that meter, internet.
At least Final Fantasy 14 looks good on the PS4 again.
Until it blows up.
Thank God. Absolutely.
Thank fucking God.
It's only a matter of time, Joe.
I'm checking the emails, because if we don't have any, I'm just going to fucking end this shit. Hey, Len, what have you been playing?
Actually, I sent you an email of what I was playing. I don't know if you got it.
You did. Yes, I do have it. I forgot about that. Do you want me to read it? You can confirm. Yeah, we got an email from Len. What do you think about that, Chris?
He's a nice guy.
Yeah. Hey, guys, just wanted to write in and give you guys a list of the games I've been playing over the past few months. Granted, they are all RPGs, but I figure the list will help you eat some time up on your show. Enjoy. DS Action RPG, Lufia, Curse of the Sinistrals. Give us your thoughts.
I like it. It's a great like action RPG. It really reminds me of like kind of more the Ease series, but it has like an old story to it. If you ever played Lufia 2 for SNES, it has like the same story. It's just in action RPG form, and the graphics are kick-ass and everything. I love it. It's awesome.
Nice. All right. PSP, Tactics Ogre.
Yeah, it's a good tactical RPG. It's a bitch to farm in that game, but it's a fun game nonetheless.
If you want a game where you farm, you should pick up Harvest Moon.
I have three of them. I have yet to launch one.
Let's see. DS, Final Fantasy Tactics A2.
Yep, that's another tactical RPG.
Nothing more to say about
that. His input is getting more and more in-depth with each game.
It's in the title.
You know what it is? It's too, like, I don't know, like little kiddie for me, you know?
Yeah.
But I just like the tactical RPGs because it's just more stimulating to my brain, I guess, you know, than
than
your regular RPG.
Have you tried Pokemon Conquest?
No, not yet. Is that like strategy RPG like or what?
Yeah. It kind of like, to me, it kind of reminded me of if you mixed like Advanced Wars with some Pokemon stuff. And
interesting.
Yeah. Did you play it, Joe?
No.
I had it. I didn't have it for that long because I have a hard time playing anything that's not Diablo Skate or Rock Band. really. Cut me some slack here.
No, it's too hot in here. You're not getting any slack cut for you.
I'm sorry. My brain is melting.
My balls are melting.
But I mean, like, I don't know. Like, it was good. I just didn't think I would have enough time to actually like devote to it. So like, I really ignored it. Till it got to the point where I was like, yeah, I need gas money. Which tends to happen more often than I would care to admit.
All right, so PlayStation, Beyond the Beyond.
Yeah, it was It's an old school RPG. It's probably one of the first ones that came out for PlayStation. I thought I remember mentioning it on your podcast before, actually. But yeah, it's a fun game. Just kind of reminds me of Dragon Warrior, sort of.
Nice.
Yeah.
Super Nintendo, Dragon View.
Yeah, it's you ever played Draken?
Yes.
Ever remember that game for SNES?
Yep.
It's the sequel to Draken.
Ah.
So it's pretty cool.
Interesting. Also on the Super Nintendo, a translated RPG, Energy Breaker.
That is a strategy RPG that's kind of plays like a choose your own adventure type of thing. Yeah, it's kind of strange, but it's really cool. It's a really cool story and everything.
Now, I remember the last time that you were on, you said that you play multiple RPGs at the same time. I didn't think you meant double digits.
Oh, well, I don't play all these all at once. No, man. I mean, these are usually some of these I can beat in maybe a week or so. And then
yeah, he said
I just
over a couple months, Chris.
Onto this one.
Well, even still, I mean, I don't think I have the fucking patience and or fucking attention span to actually go through an RPG that takes like a week and then immediately start another one. I would probably need to be like, okay, now I need a solid 2 days of Crazy Taxi. Nice.
So another translated RPG.
Well, yeah, I go through that too.
Go ahead.
Yeah, for some reason we're on a crazy delay today.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah, I've noticed. It wasn't like this last time, was it?
No.
I don't know.
I blame you. Yeah. I blame the heat. Yeah. Fucking hell, Chris. So Dark Law, the meaning of death.
Yeah. It means you're dead.
That's an awesome, awesome game. Love that game.
I'll have to check it
it's
out.
Just so weird because there's all these kinds of things that you can do and become in the game. You can become either the guy who takes the power and uses it for evil, or you can use it for good, and it allows you to kind of make up those decisions in the game. I kind of feel like a lot of those Japanese translated games, they have all these kind of weird dynamics that we never really kind of came up with here in America. So it's kind of why I like them.
Evil. I like games that you can kind of decide if you're going to be good or bad.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
Or just play the bad side, like Overlord.
Oh, yeah.
Overlord.
Another translated game. You've been on a fan translation kick, I guess. But Record of Lotus War.
Yeah, that's actually pretty cool. What happens is that you play this woman who fought in the great battle to kill this demon that wanted the whole world. She ends up losing her memory, and she has this circlet on her head, and when somebody kills her, she changes bodies and go and becomes that person who killed her. So you go through the game and you try to become other characters to go to eventually beat the game, I haven't gotten halfway through that because it was so fucking hard, but the story was really kick ass.
So that game is so fucking hard and this room is so fucking hot.
It really is.
So, next up, again for the Super Nintendo, Mystic Arc. What is that?
It's the sequel to the Seventh Saga. Played that.
Yeah, Seven Saga was good, except for how fucking bullshit hard it got.
Yeah, and this one's it's basically Seven Saga or the Eighth Saga, if you want to call it that.
Nice. on the DS, Sands of Destruction.
Yeah, that's a Japanese anime RPG, actually, or at least to me, it seems like it plays like Ranma or whatever, Ranma and a half. I don't know. It's okay. It's too silly for me, but I don't know. I got halfway through it and stopped.
It doesn't even sound like an RPG name. It sounds like a tornado in the desert or something.
What?
Yeah.
One more on the DS, Valkyrie Profile, Covenant of the Plume.
I love that game, man. It's a strategy RPG where you can actually sacrifice your own team members, and they become like level 99 strong, but you lose them after the battle.
Oh.
I really love that.
Murder. Two more games here. Final Fantasy 13 3. How was that?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Have you played the other two Final Fantasy 13s?
Yeah, I like Final Fantasy 13 too. I think that one was the best one out of all three of them. Just because you could like go through time and, you know, affect different like time strings to get other items in different eras and things like that. I thought that was really cool. Kind of reminded me of like a really heavy duty, like Chrono Trigger or something, you know?
Yeah. And the game wasn't one giant corridor tutorial.
No, it was not. Totally different from the first one, man.
But how's the third one compare? Because I know isn't that a lot more action-oriented?
Yeah, it's a little more action-oriented. My problem with that one is that you're timed in every environment. Day cycles. And what happens is you don't have it. I almost feel like you're kind of rushed throughout the whole game to get to the next, you know, goal point. Otherwise, you lose the game. So it's kind of pushing you along. And I don't really like that. I mean, if I was going to be timed, I'd go play Catherine or something, you know?
Yeah. I've never been a fan of games with time limits on you. It's like, just let me explore and take my time. I want to enjoy this shit.
Right, exactly. Yep.
So, one final game on the list.
Ready. I know, I already, with that look, can tell what game it is.
What game?
Bravely Default. Am I right? Yeah, I'm right. I know I am.
So your thoughts on that
it's
one?
Good game. I really liked the system in that game. I think Square Enix did a really good job in developing the job system and the way that you can craft different abilities from having different ones and things like that. Kind of gives me that old Final Fantasy V feel to it.
Yeah.
You guys ever played that? Yeah.
Yep.
Really like that.
Now, have you heard anything to the rumor that there is a free demo for the game?
Shut the fuck up. God damn it.
Can you confirm or deny that?
Yeah, I heard it is. I heard if you play it, like, you can get something extra that you can't get from the regular game.
So, and it's free, right?
I'm sure Chris already knew that.
I'm well aware.
Right, exactly.
So, Chris, what have you been playing?
Well, there was a new patch for Diablo today. I bet you didn't see that one coming. No, I stopped playing Diablo for a little bit. Yeah, I did. I stopped playing for a little bit just because I was waiting for the new patch update. Because I was kind of to the point where I was just farming and farming and farming, which obviously, you know, you do that in Diablo and it happens more often than not. I was kind of like, we'll see when some other shit starts going down or like when they buff or debuff or what have you in the next patch. And some of the changes that they ended up doing today were really, really nice. They're very welcome changes. So I will be farming more than ever because they changed drop rates on certain things. You don't need certain items for crafting like end game. Certain end game gear, like set items.
Oh, you know what would be a really welcome change? Fucking air conditioning.
Yes, it would. it would be wonderful, actually.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah. So
Ashley has boob sweat going on, and so do I, by the way.
So do I. I know. I've been sitting in here all day. So certain items, like certain end game items, like set items and legendaries, you used to have to try and find a white item of whatever.
That's so racist.
It is. It's a common item that has like no special abilities. You had to find one of those her, like, whatever thing you were trying to craft. So, like, if I was trying to make, like, these special bracers, I would have to find, like, crappy, like, regular bracers and then use that as a crafting material to make this endgame item. Finding certain crafting materials for that took a while, so people started hoarding them. And because people started hoarding them, essentially, like, you're only limited to a certain amount of stash space. Most people were making, like, alternate characters just to hold all the white items that they needed to, like, craft shit. So they got rid of that, which was nice. You know, some of the gambling that you could do with Kadala with the blood shards. There's a possibility to drop torment-only legendaries, which are, like, a certain amount of legendaries that you have to be on a higher difficulty for them to even possibly drop at all. But now there's a possibility for them to actually, like, drop from the lady that you can gamble with. There's a bunch of shit. Like, they changed some skills. They changed, like, certain scaling of different stuff. Like, it's, you know, it's all right. It's not
so
like
it's a Diablo.
Yeah, so that's Diablo. I started playing Counter-Strike again as of yesterday. So I forgot that, like, Counter-Strike is all into, like, fucking weapon skins and cases and buying keys and all that kind of shit. I've been starting to, like, farm a little bit. I never thought I would ever say the sentence I started farming in Counter-Strike. but I did. But I'm liking it. Like, I'm not nearly as good as I used to be, so I'm going to have to start playing a little bit more to kind of, like, get my skills back up. But I'm having fun with it. I enjoy shooting shit again. Because, I mean, I've been really dying to play. I wanted to play Battlefield, but Battlefield's just not, like, I don't know. It's just not doing it. It's not doing it for me right now. So I haven't even, like, touched Battlefield since I fucking bought it. I bought it, like, at launch. Like, I played it a couple times, and that was about it. Same thing with PlanetSide. But PlanetSide, I've been debating going back to because they're supposed to be releasing a new continent again. There was a bunch of changes since I stopped playing again. So, I don't know. We'll see.
We're supposed to be hearing more about the PS4 version of PlanetSide at E3, which I like how it was a launch title, and it's
a year, almost still, a year
it's
later.
It's like Drive Club.
Yeah. I'm still really, like, I'm dying to play fucking Trials.
Default.
Not Bravely Default, actually. Trials. I really want to try and figure out how to get the new Trials because, like, it looks awesome.
Yo, what about Stick of Truth? You guys playing that at all?
Oh, my God. I love that game so much.
He played it. He enjoyed it. It's on my wish list.
Like, I marathon that shit.
Yeah, like, I definitely want it, but I have not gotten it yet. That'll be in time. I still haven't even played fucking Assassin's Creed Black Flag yet.
Doesn't matter.
Which I really wanted to. So
did you have a question about Stick of Truth that you need answered?
No, I was just wondering if you guys liked it or played it or whatever. That's all.
I reviewed it on Save Continue. It's one of the few games that I actually bought myself and reviewed it. Spoiler alert, it got a 10 out of 10.
It's a good game.
I had probably the highest hopes for this game out of everyone I know, and I was completely satisfied with what I got. It's Obsidian,
good.
So you might run into
a lot of
the glitch here or there. But
I read a lot of reviews about it, and it kind of seemed to me that, like, everybody's consensus was, if you watch South Park, even in the least, you'll love this game.
Yeah, you will.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
And some people who, like, watched it in the beginning and kind of fell away from the show and they played it, they thought it was even funnier because so much of the stuff was new to them.
Right.
But
right.
It's absolutely amazing. It's easily one of my games of the year.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in actually sitting through and playing through that. Like, I want to really, really bad.
So, let's see. I have been playing more East Cell Seta for the Vita.
East.
Oh, how do you like it, man?
Oh, God, I love it so much. It is so fun.
Yeah, it's good.
I have been playing some more Garden Warfare when I can. Shitloads of Final Fantasy 14, and a game I didn't even know existed until it came out. It's called Nut Jitsu for the Xbox One.
What?
Nut Jitsu.
That's what I thought you said.
You are a squirrel running around different maze-like areas, trying to avoid ninja foxes. And you have to... I mean, depending on what mission you're on, you either have to hide in certain areas for so long, you have to collect certain colored acorns, collect a total number of acorns. It is by no means a Game of the Year candidate. It was $650 on the Xbox One.
Oh, wow. It's $650 on the Xbox One.
I didn't know it existed until it came out. Like, I just browsed on the shop. I'm like, what the fuck is Nut Jitsu? And it is surprisingly fun. It seems like if you have the time to waste, it is an incredibly easy 1,000 achievement points. But the one is to hit max level. And it's not hard to do, but
time-consuming.
It's going to be very time-consuming.
Yeah.
Like, I have, I think, 40-some thousand experience points right now, and I'm on level 17. Max level is 25, and the max level is, like, 200-and-some thousand XP.
Ugh.
So those last few levels are going to take forever.
That's rough. That's pretty
rough. Yeah, it is surprisingly enjoyable for a game I never heard of, didn't know existed, and was pretty much a... why not? But I am super excited to try out Super Time Force tomorrow.
Super Time Force.
It's a kind of like classic action game, pixel style from Capybara Games. They did a Critter Crunch and Heroes of Might and Magic, the card game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It looks really good. The reviews so far have been pretty promising. I should hopefully have it tomorrow to check out.
Interesting.
Aside from that, I think that's about it that I've been playing.
Yeah, I think I think I'm gonna start like playing some more Counter-Strike. There's still a bunch of stuff that I've gotten like from over the holidays on my Steam account that I haven't even fucking touched yet. So,
one of these days we'll have to do another backlog style episode.
Yeah, even if it's just one or two games, like there's definitely stuff that like I have heavily neglected that
You know what? Fuck it. We did more for four for February. Let's do more for May. Let's each pick.
Yeah, but we're already into May.
Yeah, pick two games that you're going to beat through the end of the month.
Two games through the end of the month.
We should do June.
Huh?
June would probably be.
Well, I'm going to miss a couple days in June from having my back slashed open.
It's true.
And bolts put in place.
Well, I still have like this week and next week of work and shit like that.
Well, we'll figure it out for June then. Whatever.
Let's do June.
Start thinking of games for June. We're going to do...
How many do you want to do?
Four.
Ugh, I don't know if I could do four.
Fuck,
Four. We always say four.
And then we do what we can.
Yeah, but I want to make a tangible, like, all right, if we have to do this by a certain time frame, let's do a guaranteed, like, absolute guaranteed two games.
Three.
Three?
Yes. Pick three games, and then you'll have all month of June to play and beat them.
Okay.
You in, Len? You want in on this?
Sure.
Cool.
What do we got?
So we'll get back to you in, like, 2 weeks or so to get your picks for June, and then we'll hit you up again at the end of June and see how you did.
Sounds good.
That's your homework for the next week or two.
pick games.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll all be RPGs.
Sounds good.
Mine might be Burger Island. One of them might be Burger Island.
We've been going for over an hour and 20, and I am fucking melting here. So we're going to end this. And because I don't feel like thinking of someone to play this week, I'm just going to play more Final Fantasy 14 because I just got a bunch of music from the new patches they put out.
Yo, play In Versus Phase, the Terrible Lie.
Sounds good.
From his Nine Inch Nail cover album.
All right, so we'll do inverse phases, terrible lie, and then some Final Fantasy 14. Because I really, really want to play the Fat Chocobo theme.
Sounds good.
Fucking Fat Chocobo.
Final Fantasy 14 music kick, like.
Dude, I'm hooked on the game.
He's on a Final Fantasy 14 kick,
and
period.
Look, try to find a video of the Fat Chocobo in Final Fantasy 14. It's the cutest, stupidest thing in the game. But thanks for talking to us. And do you have any final words for whoever is sitting in air conditioning right now?
Yeah, I was just going to say that you guys, if you want to follow the progress of Pixel Noir and Sword Tech, you can check out our forum at swordtechgames.boards.net and make an account there. Or not, you can be a guest and still be cool with us. It's fine. But that's it.
All right. And I guess, Chris, for not having air conditioning, fuck you.
Yep.
your fucking apartment is way too goddamn hot.